So Jonah chapter 4, this is the end of it. But it, 4's got great, you know, kind of goes along with what we were talking about a while ago. It's like your pride and you think like, I'll decide what to do. And, you know, why do I have to? So, you know, Jonah goes on this huge calling, goes on this huge mission to Nineveh, this huge Gentile city. He preaches 40 days, he could be destroyed. They repent. The king repents. The king fasts. The king puts on sackcloth and ashes. The animals put on sackcloth and ashes. The whole city repents and spared. So you would think Jonah would be happy. Like if God called you to go to, you know, Illyria and tell the whole city they had to repent or else in 40 days it would be destroyed. Which, you know, and if you went there and preached for a few days and everybody converted and repented, you'd say, oh, wow, this is awesome. Thank you, Lord, for letting me do this. But Jonah gets mad because, as we see, he wants to fry the place. Just like, you know, James and John. Can we call fire down on those guys? Yeah. Now, when you see the very end of 3, it says, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God repented of the evil he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. So that should be good news. Now, somebody start reading 4, verse 1.
But this was greatly displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. I beseech you, Lord, he prayed. Is this not what I said while I was still in my own country? This is why I fled at first to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, rich in clemency, loath to punish. And now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live.
Okay, let's pause there a second. Now, this is pretty dramatic. He doesn't just say, like, I'm upset. He says, kill me. I can't deal with this. Jonah argues with God about God's mercy. He says, why are you being merciful to them? And it's like, why are you being merciful to that sinner? I don't know if you're aware of this, Lord, but this guy's a creep. Or like we see somebody who all of a sudden starts talking like they've repented and now they're following the Lord. And you go, wait a minute, this guy's a creep. How could this be possible? Well, he argues with God and he's greatly upset. He's greatly upset. And, you know, he sees God as the God of Israel and these horrible Gentiles, and why are you being so nice to these Gentiles? And maybe it looks like they're repenting, but, you know, I don't think they really get this. You know, they're just doing it on their own terms. So he basically says to God, this is why I didn't want to come here in the first place. This is why I took off. I knew, yeah. This is why I wanted to take off for Tarshish. I knew you were a good God, gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. So he's quoting from the Psalms. Therefore, you know, take my life from me. I don't even want to deal with this. I wanted my ministry to fail. He wanted his ministry to fail. Now, isn't that weird? Wanted his ministry to fail. Yeah. He didn't want Nineveh to repent and be forgiven. So he tells God some of God's attributes, like God doesn't know him, you know, oh, you're merciful and slow to anger. Well, God already knows that. But he says, you're gracious and stuff, but you shouldn't have showed this to Nineveh. And he says, just kill me then. And that's even weirder than what we were talking about before, like when you get so upset about something, you say, oh, just kill me then. And, you know, Elijah says that too, but you know, in 1 Kings 19, you know, after this great thing happens on Mount Carmel and Jezebel wants to kill Elijah and Elijah gets scared and he runs away and he says, oh, Lord, just kill me. I'm the only one who's following you. I'm the only one. Just kill me. God says, dude, you're not the only one. I'm not going to kill you. I got work for you to do. You know, but he's like, oh, just kill me. I'm the only one who's following you. And again, talking about remnants, like how we're, like you said, we're a remnant of people. You didn't use the word remnant, but that's kind of what you meant. You know, when Elijah says that, God says, I have 7,000 in Israel who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. Well, there were 3 million Israelites. 7,000 hadn't bent the knee to Baal. That's a pretty small percentage. It was a remnant. But God will work with the remnant, just like he'll work with us. Not that we should just sit back and say, God's going to work with us and we don't have to do anything, but we have to keep in mind that he's reigning and that he's understands what's going on. We don't have to tell him about, you know, what happened at this church or what happened at the store or what happened at the parade or what happened at the thing. I mean, he's well aware of all that stuff. We just have to be ready to do what he wants us to do and understand that he's going to take care of the situation. We just have to be on the right side of that. And so Elijah kind of got, okay, yeah, I get it now. And God says, you know, go back to the cave and, you know, I'm going to pass by you and, you know, the rest is history. But Jonah just wants God to kill him because he doesn't like the outcome. And he succeeded. His preaching, his, you know, whatever you want to call it, succeeded. Now, normally, if you meet a bunch of people and you tell them something and they all say, oh, we're going to repent, you know, we're going to confess our sins, we're going to repent, we're going to follow the Lord, you'd say, oh, great, he's mad. Just kill me. Okay, now read 4 and 5.
But the Lord asked, have you reason to be angry? Jonah then left the city for a place to the east of it, where he built himself a hut and waited under it in the shade to see what would happen.
Okay, so this is amazing. So God says, can your anger be justified? Are you serious? You're upset that however many people live in the city have repented? Would you, you know, you'd rather have me just fry them? And he basically says, yeah, and I would. And he says, you know, do you do well to be angry? You know, and that goes back to what we're saying about ourselves. It's like, are you angry because I forgave somebody because they repented? Well, actually, yeah, I hate that guy. Or, you know, are you angry that, you know, like the parable of the people working in the vineyard. You know, the people that started working at 7 say, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I've been working all day in the hot sun, and this guy worked a half hour. We get the same pay?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. The older son's like, hey, wait a minute. This guy squandered all your money, and now he's back, and you have a party for him? Mm-hmm. That's not right. Mm-hmm. So he says, you know, do you do well to be angry? So he's kind of like wants to get it out of him, but it doesn't work. He's not happy the sinners have repented. He doesn't know about the prodigal son yet. You know, the older brother in that parable, he doesn't come running and say, oh, great, my brother came home. Yeah, he's been kind of a jerk, but now, you know, he's a mess. He looks kind of repentant. Okay, well, you know, I'm here doing all the stuff, but I'm glad you're home. No, he just doesn't even want to go in. So this is the same kind of attitude. And so then Jonah doesn't give in. You see what he does? He goes out of the city, sat down, made a little tent for himself, a little hut for himself, sat under it in the shade, made some popcorn, and he sat there and wanted to see what was going to happen to the city.
Let's see some fireworks.
Let's have some action here. I'm going to sit under this little hut and eat my popcorn. This is going to be like watching a Saturday night movie. Even though God's merciful, gracious, like, you know, do you want me to fry you too? He could have said, after all, you deserve it too. You ran away from me. I didn't fry you. I know about the smelly fish, but you didn't get to. I know that wasn't fun, but you see, even though when God says, you know, do you have a right to be angry, basically, he doesn't even answer him. So, you know, maybe this was the 40th day, and Jonah says, okay, now we're going to let him have it. So he makes this, you know, a temporary shelter. He makes a hut, a booth, a sukkah. You know, it's a temporary shelter. Just so he can watch the city be destroyed. Okay, six.
And when the Lord God provided, is that what? Mm-hmm. And when the Lord God provided a gourd plant that grew up over Jonah's head, giving shade that relieved him of any discomfort, Jonah was very happy over the plant.
Okay, pause. So God makes a plant that grows up, some kind of gourd plant, and it makes shade where Jonah is. So Jonah's happy. He says, great. He even made me shade. So I was disobedient. I came back and did what he wanted me to do. The people repented, which is what he wanted. I don't like that. I don't agree with that. God says, basically, do you have a right to be angry about this? He storms off and makes his little thing. God makes him a plant. He goes, oh, this is even better now. Now I got a nice shade. I got my popcorn, can of beer, and we're gonna see what happens. And it's, he doesn't deserve this, obviously, and he thinks God's providing it for him because God's so happy with him. And Jonah doesn't thank God for the plant.
Yeah, he doesn't.
No, he was exceedingly glad because of the plant.
Like
it doesn't say he thanked God. Yeah. So if God is gracious and merciful, the question is, should he be gracious and merciful just to me, or should he be gracious and merciful to everybody who repents? Well, obviously, he should be gracious and merciful to everybody who repents, and he is. The problem, Jonah, is your outlook on this, not the fact that I'm gracious and merciful.
But the next morning at dawn, God sent a worm which attacked the plant, so that it withered. And when the sun arose, God sent a burning east wind, and the sun beat upon Jonah's head till he became faint. Then he asked for death, saying, I would be better off dead than alive.
Okay, pause there. So God takes away his creature comfort. Mm-hmm. It's like, you're really following me? Okay, you're not going to have electricity anymore. You're not going to have internet anymore. You don't have a car anymore. You're going to get this disease. You still want to follow? It's easy to follow when everything's going good. It's easy to follow when everything's comfortable and nice. You feel good and you're healthy and you're running around. Then all of a sudden, uh-oh, I'm sick. Uh-oh, this, that, the other thing. You still want to follow? You want to be my disciple? Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. What? Pick up my cross? Now, like we probably said here before, that's such a powerful statement. To us, it doesn't mean much. I mean, yeah, we know the cross, and yeah, that's how they guilt people. When he says that to those guys, can you imagine the look on their face? They probably said, what? All their lives, they saw people crucified. They saw criminals executed on crosses. And like I probably said, you know, when they saw a man carrying a cross down the street with a couple of soldiers with him, they knew what was going to happen. They knew they were going to see that guy again. Now Jesus says to him, pick up your cross and follow me. Because you have to die to yourself. Not about you. Jonah, this isn't about you. And he says that to us. This isn't about us. You know, we're just unprofitable servants. You know, like the one, I think it's in Luke 17, where Jesus talks about how, you know, if a servant comes in after working all day, the master doesn't say to him, oh, let me fix you some dinner and get you something to drink, sit down and relax. No, he fixes dinner for the master and does all the stuff. And then when the master's done eating, then he eats, because we're servants. It's not about us. So, Jonah, this is not about you. You've seen a lot of things happen here. And Jonah was happier that he had the hut and the leafy plant and the popcorn than he was about the fact that Nineveh repented. So God says, you got your priorities wrong. God's mission and God's will. And, you know, he can remove comforts from us because they're not as important as his plan and his will. You think those early Christians liked hiding in catacombs and liked hiding in woods? And no, they didn't like it. They would look at our problems and say, you call that a problem? You can't decide what they have for dinner. Right? We can't decide what they have for dinner. I think I should get a new car because, you know, I've had this one for, I don't know. Maybe I'll get a brown car. You know, I never had a brown car. Shut up, you big wuss. Well, nothing wrong with having a car, but that's not an issue. So he says, you know, this is more important to you than what my mission is. So we have to think about that today. And then when the plant's taken away, when the comfort's taken away, then Jonah realizes that he relied on it. Wait, I rely on my electricity. Oh, sorry, if I don't have the mark of the beast, I can't have electricity. Oh, I better get the mark. Yeah, you know, if I don't have the mark of the beast, I can't go to the grocery store. Oh, give me the mark. Whatever that's going to be, but you know. Because people aren't going to handle things like that well. And I'm not going to either. I'm not saying.
That's what I'm just going to say.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to say, no problem. I don't need electricity. I don't need food. I'm not going to handle it well either. But it's a, he takes the comfort away. And then Jonah wants to die again. You took my comfort away. You took my plant away. I mean, he made a worm. He didn't just, like, zap the plant. He made a worm to eat the plant. And then Jonah wants to die again. Oh, it's better if I die than live. Okay, go ahead. Start at 9.
But God said to Jonah, have you reason to be angry over the plant? I have reason to be angry, Jonah answered. Angry enough to die.
See, he's arguing. So God asks him again, appeals to him again. You think you have a right to this? I do. He's resentful again. So because of his anger, he has little respect for God's authority. Or who's in charge here? Hey, I'm mad. So my anger takes precedence over everything. Right? We all do that. I do it all the time. Everybody does that. So here he's resentful again. He doesn't really care about his passion overrules God's authority. Well, if I can't have my way, just kill me then. I don't even want to live anymore. Okay, you don't want to kill the people of Nineveh? Then kill me. Okay, go ahead.
Then the Lord said, you are concerned over the plant which cost you no labor, which you did not raise. It came up one night, and in one night it perished. And should I not be concerned over Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot distinguish from their right hand from their left, not to mention the many cattle?
Oof. So he says, you're more worried about your plant that you didn't plant, you didn't water it, you didn't nurture it, you didn't let it grow, and it came up quick and it went away quick. You're more worried about the plant, but you don't think I'm supposed to be worried about 120,000 people who live in Nineveh. They had no foundation, but they were spared. That's why Jesus said, you'll have the sign of Jonah, and the men of Nineveh will rise up and condemn you at your judgment. Because a Gentile city believed Jonah and repented, and you have one greater than Jonah here, and you don't repent. So he said, the men of Nineveh will rise up at your judgment and condemn you. So basically, the plant has no eternal ramifications. It was there, it wasn't there, it was there, and it was gone. But the people in Nineveh have eternal ramifications. If 120,000 people are damned, that has eternal ramifications hugely. The plant is irrelevant. But you care more about the plant than the 120,000 people. And then, this always made me mad, the book just ends. Jonah doesn't respond. We don't know what happens. We don't know if Jonah says, fine then. You know, I'm going home. It is kind of weird that it just ends like that. I mean, it's kind of like unfinished. There's not like a, what do you call it? When like a work of fiction like wraps up at the end, there's a term for that. But
epilogue.
Yeah, it doesn't wrap up. I mean, he's gotten scolded. And then that's it. But yes, he was, yes, all of them had this. This is why Jesus used it as his teaching. So you were worried about the plant and you were about Nineveh. These people don't know the right from their left, and I'm going to save them anyway because they repented. Now they have a foundation. So that wraps up Jonah. I don't like the way it ends. See, I'm just like Jonah. Wait a minute. It can't end like this. We need like a better wrap-up.